Have you hugged your ganja bush today? Do you smoke the herb daily? This was going out to our meditators. Doctor!
Your brain thumbs and ganja growers, listen up. If you're about that life chasing flavor, yield, and loud terp profiles, you need grease in your grow game. First up, bison brew compost. This ain't no average dirt. It's 100% American bison compost, aged like fine wine over 2 years. It's fungal rich, full of life, and supercharges your soil. Whether you're brewing teas or flipping beds, this compost brings heavy nutrients and even heavier results. Then we got the hitters, Bloom Grease and Grow Grease, fermented from real cannabis flowers, preserved in sugar, stacked with aminos, minerals, and enzymes. This ain't synthetic hype. It's organic fuel for explosive growth and resin-packed flower. Bloom phase, you're covered. Veg, covered. Quality, on lock. Grease works with all plants. Veggies, herbs, houseplants, but if you grow cannabis, it's a wrap. Your trike's gonna sparkle, your roof's gonna dig deep, and your turf's gonna slap. It's lab tested, no pesticides, no residue, just pure plant power. Soil or hydro, home grow or commercial op, it blends in like a pro and levels you up. Tap in at growwithgrease.com and elevate your garden with that next gen boost.
Welcome back, everyone. Thanks for tuning in and listening to the show. This is the first show of the season, season four, and I got Josh Grambo from Dude Grows show here joining me. We met down at the Adam Dunn show. We've met at a couple different places. I've seen you at the DGC Cup last year.
Yeah.
But we never really got a chance to sit down and talk because we're always around other people and there's so much commotion going on. So
yeah,
invited him on the show to see what's up and see how he got into the cannabis business, see how he got into the Dude Grow show. And then finally, we'll talk about what's happening this year at the DGC Cup. Thanks for coming on the show, Josh.
Thank you for having me, man. Just got done jamming some hot dogs down, finished the show with Dude Grows, and back at it, ready to go.
Sweet. So are you originally from Colorado?
No, I'm actually from the band Slipknot's hometown of Des Moines, Iowa.
Des Moines. My roommates are from Des Moines. Okay. Right on. Yeah. So did you move out here just for cannabis or did you move out here for other reasons?
Yes, I 100% was a cannabis refugee from Iowa. We all knew Iowa wasn't going to change at any point. And a friend of mine was we were all involved in the legacy market as growers and, you know, yada, yada. And so one of my main, like, kind of connects back in the day, a guy who I'd always be doing business with, he got arrested, got his door kicked in, the whole nine. He ended up getting a really good lawyer, and this was going to be his third strike. Like, this was going to be, like, it's over for him. Got a good lawyer. They found a snag in the system, and he's just like, all right, I made it out. I'm leaving Iowa, dude. I'm going to Denver. And so after he moved here, I'd come visit every 6 months or so. And, God, I just instantly fell in love with the city proper. But from being from Des Moines, most people are, you're born in small towns, you die in small towns. This is what it is. But my girlfriend at the time was from Chicago, just living in Des Moines. She's like, we could move to Denver. And I had never been to jail. I had survived a raid in my life. I'd had my door kicked down. And it just so happens that it was just the perfect timing of all times for them to come in. It was the right time. Nothing was going on. And I was in between all sorts of stuff. And so I skated by and I just knew it's like I drove a Zamboni at an ice rink in Des Moines, Iowa, and that was what I did for years and years and years, and then used the different cannabis sort of things to as my side hustle. And I just realized, like, you know, I'm getting older. I had turned 31 at that point when legalization passed in 2012, and so I decided that I'm just gonna pack up everything. I took my mom, my girlfriend, my dogs. We all just left and started a new life in Denver as a bud tender for years and years while I was still, you know, cutting my teeth in the legacy market, as we call it. And after the bottom kind of fell out of the market, you know, what is it, probably 2018-ish, you know, as everything started dropping around like 1500, 1200. You're getting down to like people are selling packs for $900. And it's just like, bro. Yeah. My electricity is expensive. My nutrients are expensive. Like, I don't know that this is exactly what I wanted to do. And then Yeah, that's pretty much how I got to Denver and made my start in the little market here.
Yeah, so first I didn't come out here for the cannabis. I came out to ski. I was young. I was only 28 and it was like 2000. And found out some dank shit out here, ended up meeting some legacy growers, learned how to grow. Then yeah, I moved away and came back the year that they legalized, but still was fucking messing around in legacy because it was better.
Yeah,
It was
that's what it
still
was
better at
back
weed.
then. Yeah, it's just, that's why it wasn't, we didn't move here to stop growing. We moved here to grow more legally.
Yeah, so yeah, I came back out and left because I got hurt, and then I came back and my friend was like, man, you should go back east and grow. And that's where the money's at. So I went back east and grew. I really wasn't selling a whole lot, but it was paying for everything. I was trying to grow for my personal medical usage. So I've always been in pain, and this last 8 months I've had this neck pain. Excuse me. I've had this neck pain and finally went to get some physical therapy, and it's starting to get a little bit better, but man, it's a pain in the neck for
Oh.
real. So, growing wise and getting started, what reason did you start smoking? Was it just basically recreational hanging out with friends, or were you one of
Well,
those ones where I was super ADHD and it just helped me focus
for
and I felt
me,
normal?
it was too, I was too young to have started smoking. It was the summer between like sixth and seventh grade. I was 12, just about 13, essentially 13. And I had had a family I grew up with. They're my next door neighbors when I was 2 years old. Me and the youngest brother were like best friends, soulmates from the very, very beginning. And so like his brother's my brother, my parents are their parents. Like it's just like we're essentially brothers, me and so this family of three brothers and then me. I'm essentially the fourth brother of this family. And so we all hung out, and it was his middle brother's 16th birthday party. And there was girls there, and more than the drugs. Who gives a shit? Smoking? I don't care. Drinking? No, girls. Oh, And he's just
Okay.
like, "Want to come hang out with the girls?" And I was like, "Yes, sir. Yes." And so all these 16-year-old girls are fucking with me because I'm 12. They're like, "Oh, he's so cute." And I was like, "This is awesome." And so then they broke out a little bit of the Boone's Farm. You remember the Boone's Farm
Oh
wine?
yeah, that was the West
And so.
Virginia thing. I'm from West Virginia, so Boone's Farm at 13 was very normal.
There you go. And so I started with a drank and smoked the first night, drank a little Boone's Farm, playing with these girls, like, oh my God, this is the shit. And they're all smoking a joint and they pass it around. It goes to one person, and it gets to the brother, he goes to pass it to me, and I go, no, I'm good. And he goes, no, hit it. I go, no, I'm good. And he goes, no, fucking hit it. And I go, no, I'm good. He goes, fucking hit it. Oh. And I
Okay.
smoked the shit and fucking man, my next memory is just like sitting there, like I was like twitching, damn. I was literally like, dude, is it normal to twitch? He's like, yeah, shut up, it's normal, whatever. I'm sitting there at this party, just like sitting there, and I literally was like, I was that kind of ADHD kid that was just like, you know what? For the first time in my whole life, I kind of like feel normal and good. And so I was sitting there at 12 years old, and I had the thought, partying with girls and smoking weed, I literally said, I was like, I think I want to do this for the rest of my life. And now it is 33, what is it, 28 years later, and I'm proud to tell you that I've kept up both girls and weed. I'm still in it, baby.
Yeah, way to go. So, what is your day job? You work in the cannabis community, but also you told me you were a comedian, correct?
Yes, so I my job is that I work for the Dude Grow Show, producing their podcast and their like back end content and all that sort of stuff. And then I work for New Millennium Nutrients and 5/8 Distribution, producing the Jug Dealers podcast. And
Nice.
through just sales of like Scotty's got Recharge, they've got New Millennium, they're able to afford like this is their essentially kind of marketing, we always call it kind of like an infotainment sort of thing. It's like teach people how to grow, be funny, kind of just entertain people. And then if people want to try Recharge, if they want to try Grow Dots, if they want to try some Winter Frost, some Scientetics Cocoa, like it's not a hard push. We just tell them, we're sponsored by ourselves. Like that's the Jug Dealers podcast is we're brought to you by us. And so it's able to, I built out the Jug Dealers store. So we do online sales at jugdealers.shop for them, and then essentially that money that comes in pays me over there. These guys have Dude Grows has the realdgc.com, where we have we're having problems with Patreon, we're having problems with monetizing anywhere. So they just started their own website called Real DGC, where you can sign up, become a producer of the show. You get to help build the shows and everything. And so at $10 a month, they got enough supporters that they can pay me, they can pay themselves, and we're able to pay our rent with just being cannabis YouTubers.
And you still got an app, right? DGC Crew app, is that
Yeah,
right?
it's the app doesn't function as like we just have no. It turns out making apps is kind of hard. And
The
so,
real DGC. I've got
yeah.
on it, and I got logged out, and I can't remember my password. I tried to log back in, but
Yeah,
yeah,
so
like
I
I
always
said,
recommend
I don't get on those too much.
go to realdgc.com if you're interested in that sort of thing, because the app sometimes some people have better luck with it than others, and I've had horrible luck, so I always say just go to the browser.
Yeah, so I set up my own website. I set up this podcast. I'm an audio guy. I used to produce and make beats, and I can put album together for somebody and record voices and stuff. But once it comes to video, it's a little bit harder. And then when you're going live with OBS, oh my gosh, it's like you got to almost go to a class. I almost had it set up once, but then I just it's like, man, I'm just going to do audio where I can control it all, put it up myself, you know. There's a lot of work on the back end.
For me, it
And
was so
kudos for all that work.
you alluded. I started doing stand-up comedy in 2017. It was like if you would ask me when I was 4 years old what I wanted to be when I grew up, I would have said a stand-up comedian. It's just always appealed to me. I love the aspect of watching it. I love doing it. I love making people laugh. And everything was great. And wasn't making a ton of money, but was doing it. And then during lockdown of 2020, that all got taken away. There was no more comedy shows there. We went from having 25 open mics a week and d dozens of shows and events every single night of the week to like essentially nothing for 6 months to a year. And during that time, rather than fall into the trap of just like boozing or drugging or just smoking weed and playing video games or whatever shenanigans I may or may not have gotten into, I decided I was gonna, well, my mom had died in 2019, the same week as my baby was born, same hospital, same week. It was a really like, we're here where there was one life, there isn't, and here where there wasn't a life, now there is. And it just tripped me out, and I was just fucking, and then it's like, all right, comedy, I got comedy, I'll throw my life into that. Well, then that gets taken away. And I was like, all right, I'm spiraling. I could easily fall out of control right now. But what I chose to do was double down on just taking a whole bunch of edibles to like pass the time. Dispensaries were
I did the same.
a modern, remember, was essential service during lockdown,
I worked in
food.
the dispensary, and luckily I ended up getting a lot of free samples. Like, I don't know, somehow we had these tablets of CBD. They were 5,000 milligrams of CBD per container, and they were going about to expire. So I got like five packs for $1.
Nice. That's the best. That's
And
the
I was
samples
very
and
well medicated the whole COVID.
yes, as was I. And yeah, it's often fans of mine that are out in the Dude Grows world, or I do my own show called Grambo Grows. Got that channel out there. If you type Grambo into YouTube, probably my proudest achievement is I'm a one-word Google. You type in Grambo into Google or YouTube, it's me. And so I'm pretty proud of that. I posted my first YouTube video 18 years ago this year. I started YouTubing in 2007. And all my old videos, my first ever video I ever made was an animation of a dude smoking a bong and blowing out a bong hit. It's called Slow Cool Rips. I don't know if it's even halfway findable on the internet, but you can find me as Grambo on there. It's just labeled like edited by Grambo, voiced by Grambo, music by Grambo. And it was one of those things. So, yeah, I've been pretty much a pothead obsessed, always all about it. And so after COVID, I started training in OBS. I didn't want comedy to go to way. I hosted a popular comedy game show in Denver called Punchline Jeopardy, Denver's number one comedy game show. And so I didn't want that to stop. So I started teaching myself how to produce them online. How do I produce high level, not just static camera angles? How do I have graphics and transitions and musics and everything? And turns out it's this thing called OBS. Okay, let me download Open Broadcast Source. And I became like a master of that, doing Punchline Jeopardy in front of 15 people, you know, no one cared. No one was sitting there, but I had no clue that here I am. I'm learning Adobe Premiere. I'm learning the entire Adobe suite. I'm learning Blender, free 3D animation software. I'm learning OBS, and so I'm learning all these things. I'm kind of mastering them. I got nothing else to do during COVID. I'm just taking massive edibles, watching tutorials, learning how to do this. And then when comedy came back, I went to that. I was like, oh, comedy's back, you know, whatever. But then there was a couple short film competitions that were going on, and I entered the first one and got like an honorable mention. And I was like, oh, I'm kind of good at this. And then the second one, I finished third. And the third one, I won. And the fourth one, I won. And I was like, huh, I guess I'm like kind of good at this, but you know, there's no like, what am I gonna do? Be a video producer? Like, no, I'm going back to comedy. And I started doing the road, and I got taken out by a great headliner. He's a budtender in Boulder. And an awesome comedian. His name is PJ Johnson here in Colorado. And he took me out on the road and we did some one-off gigs, had a lot of good time. And then we did a whole kind of like summer tour. We did like 28 cities and like 35 nights or something like that. We started in Florida, like went from like Florida to Georgia, up to Pittsburgh, down to freaking Virginia, West Virginia. We just zigzagged 28 cities until we got like to Utah, doubled back and came back. You know, met the most amazing people, had the greatest shows, grew as a human, connected with this man out on the road, like living the road dog life, hotels every night, waking up, strip clubs, smoking weed, running out of weed, buying weed in strip clubs, like living the life. Had so much fun. Came home, negative $300, beat up car, you know. And I'm like, I told PJ when I was on the road, I called to the universe. In this emotional kind of when you're touring on the road with a man and you're in a car 9 hours a day doing hard things, PJ would go up, he'd bring me up, he'd be like, your first comedian, Josh Grambo, he's an animator, he's an innovator, he's, you know, his whole intro. He'd bring me up, I would do 30 minutes, you know, just bam, bam, bam to the minute, don't even need a clock, I know my 30 minutes. I'd be like, all right, guys, get off your headliner. This next guy, he's from Detroit, you know, Detroit, Michigan, working out of Boulder, Colorado, awesome freaking guy, merch in the back, give it up for PJ Johnson. He'd come up and do an hour, we'd sell merch, schmooze, 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 back on the road doing it. And we just became very honest with each other. And I told him kind of emotionally, he told me this story about the man on the island. And he's like, a man was dying on the island, and he asked for God to save him, and this helicopter flew by. He's like, oh, you can climb up, but it's gonna be a lot of work. And he's like, no, I'll God will save me. I don't want to expend the energy. And then the next day, a cruise ship passes by, and he's like, you can swim to us, and we'll rescue you. You have to put in the work. And he goes, no, God will rescue me, you know. And then he dies, and he goes to heaven. He's pissed at God. He's like, man, where were you? You let me die on the island. He goes, motherfucker, I sent you a cruise ship. I sent you a helicopter. You know, and he tells me this story as like a young kind of Christian black man from Detroit. And I'm a hardcore kind of atheistic minded person, especially in my youth. And he's like, yeah, it's probably cheesy and dumb. I was like, dude, I'm kind of fighting back tears right now. And I told him, I was like, when I get back to Denver, I'm getting on the next helicopter that flies over to pick me up. And I asked for something that took all my skills as a person, all these different things that I can do. I need something that's a job. I got back on a Monday. And by Friday, the Dude Grows producer of 6 years, Sean, abruptly quits, decides, like, you know, this isn't the path for him. And he wants to go be a fishing guide in a river and live his real dream and all this stuff. And they're like, of course, like, you know, but they're producerless. And so talking to the guys, Scotty Reel on Monday, he's like, yeah, come up, hang out, man. I'm glad you're back off the road. We don't have no business to discuss, but come hang out. And by that Friday, no business to discuss was, would you like a job? And, literally, I asked for a helicopter to pick me up when I got to Denver, and it took 4 days, me being back, until my whole life changed. I became the Dude Grows producer, started the Jug Dealer, started Grambo Grows, and I can pay my rent, I can take care of my daughter, and I'm spooked out. So I'm very, very committed to not only the plant. The plant has, I should have prefaced with that. The plant has saved me, like my first friends that I found through the plant. My first income I ever made was through the plant. The thing that kept me out of drug, like serious drugs, meth and addiction cycles and gambling was the plant. The thing that got me out of Iowa to Colorado was the plant. And now I'm not dealing directly with the plant. Like, not hands, I still grow, obviously, but that's not what pays my bills. And the plant came in digital form and took the fact that I'm funny I'm a writer, I'm a producer, and I'm a grower who's kind of been growing for 15 years obsessively. And a job that takes every single thing I do showed up. And so now I'm just like almost religious about it. Where I'm like, bro, the universe itself reached out and gave me this cannabis media thing, and I am loyal to the soil, bro. I bleed green these days. Chlorophyll is in my heart.
Little manifestation going on.
Spookily. So
Yep.
everyone's like, Grandpa works so hard. And I go, man, this ain't work. Working at a dispensary, grinding out tips and everything, that's work. Working construction, that's work. Changing tires, working in an office, entertaining the cannabis community, that is literally a gift. Come on.
I had moved out here this last time just to learn as much as I can about the cannabis legal industry and see where I want to fit in and where I fit in best, and then take it back east. And I
Sure.
think a lot of it too is just the podcast, a little social media, seeds and breeding. That's where I fit in.
You do good work, let them know you exist. That's your job in this world. Like, do enough advertise, like, YouTube, TikTok, whatever your thing is, Instagram, whatever you feel comfortable doing. Do good work, be a good person, let people know you exist, and then that's essentially all you really got to do. Network, be nice, be good. It's a small community. The cannabis community is very small and very loyal. And so you can't F around too much without getting a bad rep in this community's
Yeah,
between,
it's
you know,
very
with the
easy.
Adam Dunn crew. It's Adam's the Kevin Bacon, 6 degrees of Adam Dunn. Like that in that community, you know everybody. Gabe from Jug Dealers, Gabe knows everybody. You start doing people wrong in this industry, everyone knows everyone, man. So our word is our bond in this, and I love that.
Yeah, I like that too. So we're going to take a mini break. We're going to come back and we're going to talk about some strains. You said you're growing for a while and it helps with your ADHD. What's your favorite strains, how it helps you, and then favorite way to consume. You're more of a rosin fanatic than I am. I'm more of a flower guy, I think. But we'll get to that here in just a moment. And so we'll be right back, folks.
Yo, smokers, listen up. You know your stash deserves more than a drawer or a baggie. Enter the Tree Lock Box, the ultimate vault for your buds. Built for the city life, it's lockable, odor-proof, and keeps your herbs cool and fresh. No more mold, no more mess, just pure potent peace of mind. Inside, a glass jar to preserve flavor, a 60-millimeter grinder, the bud lightening tool, a flying nun blade, and an electric lighter. Everything you need, all in one sleek box. Here's the kicker. Buy it from Little Farmer's site and you get the Little Farmer name on it, plus a free pack of Straight Fire Genetics. That's right. Exclusive gear and genetics just for you. If you ever been on the scene with Little Farmer, you've seen him roll with this tree lock box. He takes that thing everywhere, keeping his dank fresh, safe, and always ready to roll. Tree lock box, lock it, roll it, own it. Get yours at littlefarmer.com. Secure your stash, elevate your game.
All right, welcome back, everyone. And we're here with Josh Grambo from Grambo Grows, Dude Grows Show. He is a comedian. He is a digital fanatic. He loves the digital. He probably knows, taught yourself everything, right?
I went to YouTube University. It's
YouTube
just
University.
like if you apply yourself, it takes a lot of work to find good tutorials and good information. But yeah, essentially gave myself a film school education over YouTube.
I did basically the same. You can find basically anything. I made beats on what was that? FL Studios.
Fruity Loop.
Download it, get the free one, learn a little bit, then you buy it, just teach yourself. Then next thing you know, I'm getting a video, making videos for it, putting that together. I ended up working at a video game company for about 3 years in
Nice.
Canada,
Love it.
and they taught me how to take the computer towers apart, put them together, put in new video graphics cards, test them out for the latency, whatever, and FPS, and then put them back together, and then hook up with people in Japan and play some games to test out some of the first what was it, the Wii Connect is back there.
Okay.
So it was pretty cool to learn that, but yeah. Basically, you could teach yourself anything with YouTube now, and
anything. Let's go.
OBS is my next one, but like I said, it's rough when you're the producer or the host and trying to run everything. I accidentally had a Brandon Rust on here. We did a whole podcast and it didn't record. So I'm hoping Brandon, you come back on the show for me.
So this is my secret weapon right here. I got my Stream Deck. I have all the different, all my keys are all set up. I can go in. I got a key that then opens up to more keys. You know, you got your back button. And so, like I said, I got things like, you know, I got Scotty shot. I got Dude shot. I got the three shot. And so everywhere I go, I use a Stream Deck that hooks right into OBS and it literally will change your life. And you know how I learned how to use Stream Deck? Watching YouTube tutorial videos. And it takes hours. It takes hours. It really takes work. And you have to take notes. I'd open a notebook and I'd take notes on hotkeys. And now when people watch me edit in Adobe Premiere, I'm zipping around. Brr, ding, bling, bing, bong, tong, tong, tong. You know, and I do 3D animation. Blender 3D animation software or Maya or 3ds Max, they're so complicated, you can't operate them without a keyboard. Like, you have to have a mouse and keyboard, and you're playing these softwares like a piano. And so I grew up, like I said, in Slipknot's hometown, and I was going to be a musician my whole life. I'm very good. I'm a very, very good guitar player, great musician, might be the thing I'm the best at, but it requires other people. And so, like, I always will tell the guys, like, the mouse is my picking hand, and this is my fretting hand, and I'm over here just operating. I can live stream. I can do all this stuff. So I'm producing the show while I'm talking, giving information, looking at the camera, cut to Scott, ready Scott, cut to Scott, cut to Grambo, ready Grambo. You know, I'm doing all the things. And I used to play pro poker back in the day on the internet. I'd play, like, 9 tables simultaneously. And so that ADD brain that hurt me in every single aspect of my life is now my secret weapon. I can do 20 things all at once at 1,000 miles an hour while fucking chain smoking weed.
Mm-hmm. So that weed probably helps you to focus on all that and get in tuned with it.
I'm at work right now.
Like, I'm kind of the same way.
Be working, and they ply me with dabs the minute I walk in because they know the higher I am, the more dialed in I get.
So dabs, that's your thing, right? You are a hash connoisseur.
If I would have heard that 10 years ago, I wouldn't have believed you.
Well, you're a rosin connoisseur, not a hash. I like old school hash myself.
I'm a equal opportunity hash guy. I tend to mainly sit in live resin, BHO, and then rosin. I don't really care, BHO or rosin. There's no real whatever's dank for me. But, you know, it's one of those things that I moved to Colorado for weed. I moved to Denver specifically because I wanted to be close to, like, where the best weed, you know, like maybe Cali, maybe some other places, maybe New York, wherever. There's a lot of good weed everywhere, but I'd always thought of Denver as the modern Mecca. You know, this is the spot. And so I just started to meet all the best growers in town, all the best hash makers in town. And you start to taste these things. I'm a flavor whore, you know. Weed, I don't know, you know, everyone's different with their cannabinoid system, your endocannabinoid system. Everyone's a little bit different. For me, I'd say 98% of all weed affects me the exact same way. It's one flat thing. Occasionally I'll get shit that couch locks me. Occasionally I'll get the paranoia hash or whatever, some bubble hash that spins me out, you know, but that's very, very rare, to the point where I thought the whole, like, uppers and downers weed sort of thing was just kind of a placebo effect and everyone was full of it. And now I'm softened. It's like, oh, you know, it's just me. I don't really. So when weed is just weed, the thing that kind of, like, appeals to me is the flavor. I have such a high tolerance that I tell people weed's almost become like aromatherapy to me.
That's what hotel terps are, aromatherapy, yeah, basically.
And so when it tastes the way I want it to taste and it's just that perfect nom, 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 it just makes me happy. And once you get into these high level live games, man, that is where Terp Town really, for me, lies in. So it just became a slow, slow transition. You know, I was a Bic lighter and spoon. I had a glass spoon and a Bic lighter. Mm-hmm. And that was in my pocket. And I could break up a bowl in my hand and pack a bowl, like bang, 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 bam. I was a ninja with it. And then slowly but surely, and then you meet guys like, you know, our buddy in Denver, the Diamond Mind, and he hooks you up with these cartridges, and you go, oh, people are like, oh, cartridges are crap. Well, I hate to tell you, you don't have the Diamond Mine cartridge, because the Diamond Mine cartridge is not crap. It is delicious and amazing. And so I get it. If you get some distillate pen from a gas
Yeah,
station,
that's
it's
garbage.
not good. This is, I don't
There's
smoke
some
shit.
good rosin pens out there. There's some really good creators out there. And
Yes.
I'm lucky to work with, for one, I work at Northern Standard part-time as a budtender, and they do their own live rosin carts, and they're really tasty. They hit almost like cannabis, two, three hits, and I'm like, man, I felt like I just took two, three bong hits, you know?
Agreed.
And yeah,
So
they're
yeah,
very flavorful.
you
I
hear me
like
not
dank,
smoke.
stank weed. I'm a
Yes.
terp. I like weed with a
Skunk
lot
and
of
funk.
terp. I just like it loud. It could be gelato is one of my newest flavors I like within the last 15 years since I've moved to back to Colorado. Actually, in the last 8 years, because I didn't hear of it before I moved back this last time. I've been here 7, 8 years this last time.
Nice.
And
Yeah,
then Tropicana cookies. It smells like Hawaiian fruit punch. It just makes your mouth water. You
I
cannot like
love
that smell of that and the
Trop
flavor of
cookies
it.
is one of my favorite. And it's got that citrusy funk in it, but then it's got this kind of like muted back end. My friend calls it Play-Doh. He's like, it tastes like Play-Doh. Well, I never ate Play-Doh, so I can't attest to it, but it does have this muted back end on the Tropicana cookies. Love that stuff.
So yeah, like you said, BHO rosin, it doesn't matter. It's taste. One of my favorites I ever had was actually from Glacier Concentrates, and it was Ultra Sonia, and it was a
Okay.
tangy cross or something, super orangey. And
Nice.
I'd take my little vape pen, have it on the lowest setting, take
Yeah.
it, get a flavor full of terps, bump it up one notch, take another one, hit a little harder, almost start coughing,
Right.
bump it up one more, get all that THC. And by that time, I got head to toe tingle, medicated, feeling great. And it was my favorite. And it was BHO. And it was, what was that, color remediated CRC or something like
Yeah.
that. And it's still people knock, they knock on that too. Oh, it's probably shitty weed. That's why they had to take the color out of it.
Well, and the remediation actually is like lots. We call it one thing, but it's lots of different processes. It can be anything from like a simple filtration all the way up to being bombarded by gamma rays
Yeah, I
to
went down to their lab once, and it wasn't gamma rays. It was just some kind of clay filter, I think. They showed me the little clay. They're like,
Yeah.
yeah, this filters it out, makes it cleaner, it's
It's like,
smoother
so
that way.
you hear that, you go, well, it went through a filter just like your water. It's not necessarily being
And
processed.
they had their grow. They grew all their stuff right there, and they sold their flower, and it was high quality premium stuff to begin with. So it was super, super tasty.
Oh,
So, strains that you like, what are your favorite strains right now? Anything you're growing specifically? Do you grow for
well,
rosin, or do you even grow at all still?
yeah, so I just moved into a small apartment in Denver, and for the first time in years, I'm not able to grow, but I grew with my roommate. He's works at the International Church of Cannabis, and so he's one of the hosts and tour guides up there, runs all the events up there. Church of Cannabis, Nate. And so, yeah, both of my former roommates both worked at the Church of Cannabis. We grew. We had a 5x5 upstairs. We had a little 2x4 veg downstairs, and plot plants up and down and everything. It was great. So I taught them how to grow. And so when we left that house, I got a small little apartment, and he got another house that's like 2 blocks from me. So we just went ahead and set up the tent over there and getting everything set up. But yeah, as we are going right now, I'm kind of in this mission. Like Jaron from the Jug Dealers podcast, he's the keeper of this GMO cut that I just love. Like the minute I smoked GMO for the first time, I remember my girlfriend came home and she thought there was a fire in the grow. She goes, "Dude, it smells like burning rubber and weed in here." And I was like, "Yeah, man, isn't it cool? Like it's fucking GMO cookies, garlic cookies, it was called the first time I smoked it, you know?" And so I love that GMO. It's the remnants. I'm one of the Sour Diesel kids of the early aughts, back in 03, 04, this fucking diesel started coming around. You could smell it. Your friend would walk in the house. I
Yeah,
smell
I
it.
know you
It's in his
got it.
pocket.
I like
And
that
so,
weed. Those are the type of terps I like. I like
yeah.
anything it comes out of my garden, I want it to be able to open the jar and people across the table will be like, that smells good.
Yeah.
You know, that's what I want. If it doesn't have that effect, then it doesn't make the cut for me.
Diesels, chems, OGs, the GMO stuff. I really love things like Lemon G, particularly. This is one of my favorite strains on earth. I was actually the night you and I were...
I was getting ready to say, you said the Lemon G was... You were saying that the night at the Adam Dunn Show recording.
So I heard out of the corner of my ear, someone was over there, and they're like, oh, I got some I-95 and some Lemon G. I was like, excuse me one second. I'm going to go introduce myself. And literally, I bought up a whole bunch of these, and I actually bought an ounce of the Diamond Mind Lemon G live resin, and I have 1 gram left from that night. But you know, but then also I'm friends with Terpicana Kyle. He gave me like an ounce of the sour diesel resin he made. So I'm kind of hash rich in my life. I end up giving a lot of hash and bud away just to my friends, you know. Speaking of which, I got to grab some weed from Scott tonight to Scotty got the big old bucket. He's got more weed and he knows what to do with. So he's always like, if you need weed, let me know. So my buddy, she hit me up and she's like, any of that Scotty weed around? And I was like, I'm sure we can get you some Scotty weed.
I'm actually smoking on some GMO Durban Poison Cross. It's called an African GMO. And it's got some pretty dank aromas to it. It's kind of a mix between the two, but not that pine salt, and it's not really the garlic either. It has a sour aroma to it, not like sour diesel, but like souring fermenting fruit or something, you know, like that sour aroma that comes off of it.
Don't hate that.
No, I don't either. I like it a lot. It's definitely a keeper. I got this cut off of Emilio from Enhanced Genetics. So
this is a good guy.
It's a pretty good strain. I would definitely recommend it. If you have a chance of getting a cut from him, get it. Nice. Yeah, GMO is one that I like. I like that Gorilla Glue a lot. It has a little bit of that garlicky, a little chocolate, a little coffee, but that heavy funk, like that cannabis funk, that one aroma that defines cannabis from all other plants. It can have all the other terps mixed in it, but it has that one caryophyllene or something, that one that all the drug dogs are trained to sniff out. That's the one.
Carry off Eileen.
Yeah, there's two of them. There's like one that has one letter different spelling. It's on a list of terpenes at the dispensary I work at. I don't know how to pronounce either of them correctly. So, so coming up is the Hash Bash and the DGC Cup Flower Cup, correct? That is June 6th and 7th and 8th.
Yes, 6th is their private VIP party, 7th is the Flower Cup, and the 8th Sunday is the Hash Bash. It's going to be sick.
So I did come up last year. This last year it was only the Flower Cup. This year is the first year of the Hash Bash, am I correct?
Yeah, they've had hash events in the past, but it was traditionally just a flower growers cup. And then this year, our buddy Terpicana Kyle and Taking Tops Daily, they really stepped up and was like, dude, we'll spearhead this thing for you guys. You know, they're swamped. Scotty and I really are like the podcast people. We focus on like, we build the Dude Grow show. We put it together. We structure the whole thing and everything. And then Banner is like our website guy. He's the guy that does all the that sort of stuff. We've got One-Eyed Cat Cannabis. He's our social media guy. He does all that sort of stuff. And then Brett will handle all the back end of like making sure people get paid, he's, you know, and everyone does like kind of their thing. So when it comes to the cup, that's Banner and Dude. They do their thing over there. And me and Scotty, we know nothing about, I haven't even been to the event. You know, I don't know shit about any of this stuff. So for me, it's really just like fun, whereas everyone else has to work. Scotty,
hey, nice Scotty and Kenny coming. And Kenny, what's up, fellas?
So yeah, it's going to be sick. So shout out to Terpicana Kyle and Tops. They really spearheaded saying we really should do this Hash Bash thing. And we did. And so now tickets are sold. It's going to be I think we got 30, 40 hash makers in there. And it's going to be a...
Do you know how many flower entries are coming? This is not just a Colorado thing. This is one of the biggest things in the state. It is
worldwide.
Definitely national. People worldwide know the Dude Grows. And it is a very challenging. It's one of the top. If you place in this, you're definitely up there
And it's not like a snooty thing where like 10 heads gather in a corner and kind of, oh, you know, like for me, I'll always tell a story. I was at the Cup last year and I don't love Jack's. I don't like Jack Herrera. I don't love Island Sweet Skunk. I don't love Durbin. I don't like those piney things, you know? And so I go up to this guy's thing. He's got the best looking weed I've ever seen. It smells like super gassy. I take a hit of it and it's piney Jack. I just taste it. Oh, that's Jack. I know it from a mile away. I go, that is the best Jack I've ever smoked in my life. And I hate it. Goodbye. You know? And so like how, if I'm 10% of the voting panel, well, now your test results are skewed. I'm never going to vote for one of those piney strains, no matter how good it is. I'm just never going to do that. So now 10% of the votes are already dogged against you, you know? So no matter how you stack these things, they're kind of unfair, unless you give 5 votes to every single person of the 500 people in attendance, let all 500 people try all 50 strains, and then put a token in each of the ones. If they love one, you put them all 5 in there. If you like this one, this one, this one, however you do it, we count up the tokens in front of everyone, right in the center of the mass, and then we announce the top 10. And pretty much every year that I've been involved with the Cup, it picks them, man. This Emergency that won a few years ago, just one of the best strains ever. When we're talking about strains, I should have brought up the Emergency. Our buddy JR Token has JR Killer Cuts.
He'll be there for sure.
He'll be there. That's one of the coolest things. All your favorite cannabis content creators are going to be there too. That's like, it's like you're going to be there. I'm sure Adam's going to be there. Drug dealers are going to be there. The From the Stash guys, Matt Icann THC, Matt from Strain Show. Chad Westport is going to be in the house. Like literally, not only is it all my favorite growers, all my favorite entertainers are going to be there.
Yeah, it's a full house. And actually, this year's a new location. So if you were there the last couple of years, it's not going to be the same lookout. When we had the, what was that?
Was it the farm?
We had the farm, but we just had an event up there. What was that? Was that the 420 event? Or no, it was a Camp 420, wasn't it? Did you go up to Camp 420?
No, but that was at the new venue, right?
Yeah, that's at the new venue. So I got a chance to peek it out. They were telling me that's where the new this year's DGC Cup is going to be held.
Yeah, and I'm stoked. I haven't been yet.
Talking about taking tops, didn't he win last year? Wasn't he one of the
second by one vote?
Who was the winner last year?
He is a Dusty, and he won with some 11-year-old Living Soil. I'm blanking. You remember what won the cup, either of you guys, last year? It was Dusty won with the something number 23. What's the fucking goddamn? It was taken. Everyone was growing it here like 6 months ago.
Was it Dante's Inferno 23 or something? That's the first thing that comes to my mind when you're throwing out numbers and everybody.
I can't believe that I can't remember. I literally remember the grower's name. I remember how he grew it. I remember what it tastes like. I can't remember the goddamn name.
So I know one of the popular ones that have been popping up, the fruity ones, are ones that are winning a lot of cups.
A lot of Z strains are in. Everything's Z these days. Like the best strain I've smoked this year is the strain from the Sauer Family Farms up in New York. They have this strain called LMNOZ. LMNOZ. And you open it up and it's from the Sauer Family Farms. The guys are kind of credited with a lot of like AJ's Cut and things like that, you know? And then I smoked it and I was like, dude, it literally reminds me of that. Wow.
See, I've seen Super Boof. That's another strain that I think has some really good terp profiles, smells really good. But for me personally, it doesn't hit hard enough as a flower. So I prefer it as a rosin. So I've seen it a lot in Colorado becoming at the top of the list for flower and rosin competitions.
Oh, Black Maple 23. It finally came back.
Black Maple.
Black Maple 23 won the cup last year.
I've heard some good Oklahoma's stuff about some Black Maple.
But my favorite by far is Emergency. We've never been there. But yeah, so Tops, he finished second by one token, and his lady friend at the time kept one token as a souvenir, so she didn't vote. Kept that one token in her purse, and he lost by that one. Had she voted for him, he would have tied with Dusty for first with a strain forever infamously called the Monkey Spunk.
The Monkey Spunk. I know he'll be entering the the rosin contest. I think he's one of the
The hash bash is going to get
bigger rosin fanatics that I know. The
you.
glob father.
The Globfather himself. I have his. I only brought the diamond mine today, but yeah, diamond mine's going to be there. Gabe is entering. I think Kyle's not entering because he's kind of one of the running officials. But I think he's. Yeah, Nikita is going to be entering. Frickin', we got a whole cast of homies. Wish we could have got Pedro up in there, but he's up there in the mountains, so it's hard to get him down.
Yeah, it's not easy to travel back and forth through this state, especially in the winter time. And like we were talking earlier, it's still trying to snow up here, and it's almost June. Yeah,
That's hilarious.
it was snowing last night, and they were usually it's about this time of year when it breaks and it stops frosting, but in the last 3 mornings we've had frost.
Damn.
The aspen trees haven't even started to bud out yet.
Need them buds.
So, Grambo, can't wait to see you up at the show.
Yes, sir.
Appreciate you coming on the show and talking
Of course.
about the DGC and telling everybody what to expect and letting us know what you're up to. And definitely have to link up and come up and get on the Do Grow show. I need to get Scotty on my show. We've talked about it, just never really set it up. Banner was on here last year.
Nice.
Banner's a great guy. I
Love
can't wait to
Banner.
see him again. Yeah.
Yes, sir. He's our breeder aficionado. He does the Know Your Breeder show on Dude Grows. It's like one of our like the secondary. There's the Dude Grows show, but then there's Know Your Breeder starring Banner, and it's always he and I doing those solo, and it's a fun little offshoot.
Yeah, he hooked me up with a dog walker OG cut
Nice.
down at the Adam Dunn's little turp barter town. I don't know if you've ever been to one of those on a Sunday
I
where
haven't
they.
been, but I know the Barterp town very well.
Yeah, so he gave me one of those. I ended up crossing that with an 82 Zetas H skunk.
All right.
And it is pretty fucking dank. I'm gonna have some seeds up. I'm gonna bring some up for him.
Nice.
But thanks for tuning in, everyone. Grambo, it's a pleasure. And see you up there in what is it, like 10 days?
Yeah, 2 weeks less. I don't even know. It's coming. Weekend after this.
Yeah, I suck with the dates and time. I don't know. I might even come up on the first night and hang out.
Cool.
I don't know if I'll be able to hang out for the hash bash or not. I got my friend Dan coming up with me. He's one of my helpers here with the camera. He records stuff and then I try to edit it up the best I
Cool.
can. So he'll
Nice.
be up there. Hope you guys get to meet. He's got some stories to tell about last year. He overdid it
Yeah.
with the edibles and kind of, man, I thought he was tripping on acid or something, like somebody dosed him. He didn't know because he was just wandering around and he was flipping out about the ambulance. He goes, "Oh man, that looks like a spaceship." Is that a spaceship? He was tripping out on it.
Yep, be careful, everybody.
So he's excited about coming back up. And he's like, "I'm not doing any edibles, man."
No more spaceships, bro. No more
No,
spaceships.
actually, I want to try out one thing. He is a vapor. Have you ever seen the little this is going to be my next investment, is buying one of these little electronic things you plug in, you set the temperature, you put it on top of your
For
bong
flower.
hit and for flower and hit it. It tastes just like you're dabbing.
Yeah, our buddy Rasufa brought one of those to the cup last year and I got to try it. Definitely, it's a scene.
Yeah, my buddy Farmer John 13 hooked me up with a couple hits off of his, and he's like, "Yeah, the hot air goes through these rubies and it heats up the weed and it tastes great." And
Sure.
it definitely did taste like a rosin hit.
Nice.
Right, buddy. Peace. Appreciate it. Thanks for tuning in, everybody, and we'll see you next week or in the next episode. Peace.
www.littlefarmer.com. Little Farmer Genetics. Cultivate your high. Yo, if you're looking to grow your own top-tier cannabis, Little Farmer got what you need. We're talking award-winning genetics, exclusive packs, and some of the most fire strains out there. Head over to littlefarmer.com to find Tree Lock Box. If you cop the Tree Lock Box, it's got the Little Farmer name on it, and we're throwing in the free pack of genetics. That's the deal you don't want to miss. the scat genetic line. Now let's talk about the scat line. This one is for the true connoisseur. Why scat? Because these are the shit. Old school scat, gorilla scat, Loki scat, vanilla scat, and we got more to come once we finish testing. Trust, these are about to take over your growth space. Purest indica crosses. If you want that heavy indica vibe, check out these crosses. Blackberry, Murphy's Apra Ski, GG Wedding. We're still testing, so more to come that will be pure fire before they hit the market. Plus, we got some feminized seeds for y'all. Purpleado Headcake, Kim Wrecker, Vanilla Lip Smack, Head Smack, a cross of Green Crack and Purple Headband that'll have you feeling like you just got smacked with a happy stick. Lab Coat Genetics. Oh, and don't sleep on the award-winning Lab Coat Genetics. Available also on the Little Farmer site. Grab them and you'll get a free tester pack of Little Farmer's own genetics. Serious firepower for your growth. Support Little Farmer and the Refer the Reefer podcast. Check out the site at littlefarmer.com and hit up the Refer the Reefer podcast for more details. Get your seeds straight from the source and grow your own fire. Little Farmer, healing the planet one seed at a time.
Call him Dr. Herb for the healing meditation and good vibration. For food, fuel, fiber, and a little bit of fun. See, the joint ain't necessarily the point, but I want one.